I ask you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. We'll be reading verses 18 through 21 in just a moment. Isaiah 43, beginning with verse 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. In this passage of Scripture, we find that the Israelites here are in Babylonian captivity. Isaiah is prophesying to them that God is about to do a new thing for them. Actually, what he is about to do is free them from their Babylonian captivity in a similar manner that he freed them from Egypt and took them to the land of Canaan. And he says it will be a new beginning for them. It is going to be a new thing. You know, at this time of the year, our mind is set on new things. We find ourselves in the earliest days of 2023, and we begin thinking about new things. It may be that we have set new goals for ourselves. It may be that we have set resolutions for ourselves, that we are looking to achieve new things this year. It may be things that we did not accomplish last year. It may be something that we want to add on to what we were able to do last year. You know, God, he recognizes the need for people to have a sense of a new beginning or to have a new thing. This is reflected throughout the Bible. Within Scripture, we find several, quote, new beginnings within the passages of the Bible. The creation itself, of course, was the new beginning of life on earth. The time following the flood was as much of a new beginning for mankind as the creation was. The Israelite nation had a new beginning when they were freed from Egyptian bondage, because many of them, as all they had ever known, was to be in bondage. So now they are having something new. God is doing a new thing for them. They had another new beginning when they reached the land of Canaan, the promised land that God had given to them. It was another new beginning for mankind with the birth of Christ. It had been prophesied that Christ is coming. He is going to save mankind from their sins. It was a great beginning for mankind at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because in gaining victory over death, it gave us the possibility of having a victory over death. On the day of Pentecost, this was a new beginning for man. The establishment of the church. Now you and I can be a part of this wonderful organization, this wonderful kingdom, this wonderful family of God. It is a new beginning for the Christian. And as Christians, we actually had a new beginning when we obeyed the gospel of Christ and became a part of the family of God. So from Scripture, we should have a very good understanding of what it means to have a new beginning. New beginnings can be refreshing. New beginnings can be reflective. And new beginnings can be challenging and exciting. Today I want to talk about two of this list of new beginnings that I just gave to you. First of all, the beginning of our world. It was the ultimate new beginning. It was the creation of mankind. It was the creation of life itself. Outside of life in heaven. You know, there were actually things, though, that existed before this world began. There were beginnings before there was our beginning. You see, we read from John chapter 1 and verse 1 that both the Father and the Son existed before the beginning of the earth. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word, of course, is making reference to Christ. They existed before the foundation of the world. And from these two verses, we also read from Genesis 1 and verse 2 that the Spirit of God was on the face of the deep. So here in these first two verses of the Bible, we have been introduced to the Trinity, the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They were all here before man was ever created. We have indirect evidence that the angels of God were created before the creation of the earth. You know, the Bible doesn't come out and tell us when God created the angelic world. But their existence is mentioned in Job chapter 38, beginning with verse 4. God is speaking to Job here, and he says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Okay, now he's talking about the beginning of us, the beginning of this world. "Where were you when I laid the foundations of this earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched out the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Now in verse 7, he makes reference to the morning stars and the sons of God. We go back to the Hebrew language, and we find that these two words here are indicating the angels of the Bible. Where were we? Well, we had not yet been established. We had not yet been created when the morning stars and the sons of God shouted for joy. There were things that came into existence as God spoke the word. Let there be light. Let there be the separation of the firmaments. Let there be land. Let there be animals. Let there be man. As he spoke that word, things were developed. And everything on the earth was developed before we were. The life that we know. All living things. Relationships like the marriage relationship, the family relationship, was created by God. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 beginning, it says that the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh in its place. And then with the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Families were created by God. This world, everything in it, everything that we have, everything that we are, was a creation, a new beginning for mankind. The second new beginning I want to talk about is the day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This was a new beginning for the Christian. I guess you might say that this would be considered as the spiritual equivalent to the Genesis creation. All life physically as we know it began at the Genesis creation. The spiritual life that we have as Christians began on the day of Pentecost. You know, this new beginning, this new kingdom, as it was called, was actually foretold by Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. "In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever." The church, the kingdom of God, shall stand forever. Now we know of people for generations who have tried to destroy the kingdom of God. And generally what they do, they burn the word of God. And they downplay and destroy the Christians that teach God's word. But what have they really done? Absolutely nothing. God's word continues today. The kingdom of God continues today. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that man can do to bring it to an end. This new kingdom would be Christ's church. It would be based upon a confession that Peter made in Matthew 16, verses 16 through 18. Who do you say that I am? And Peter responded, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response to this confession was this, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There is nothing that can consume or destroy what God has built. Jesus said that this would come with power. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, he said, Assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God present itself with power. So we know that it is here. We know that we are a part of it, and we know that it shall ever last. And we also know that those who are obedient to the gospel, which God's word teaches, will be a part of it. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, it says, The Lord had added to the church daily those who were being saved. It was a new beginning. It is a new beginning for you when you became a member of the church that Jesus established. What a wonderful beginning to know that we are a part of something brand new. God is doing something new for us. Now, there are some things that we need to learn about these new beginnings. And I'm talking about the physical beginnings that begin at our creation. I am talking about the spiritual beginnings that began on the day of Pentecost. There are some things that we need to know about it. Number one, they all came from God. James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. Our physical world was created by God and by Christ, who was with God at the beginning, at the creation. It was the gospel of Christ that forgives sins, the hope of heaven, the direct gifts of God to his children, both physical and spiritual. All of these gifts came from God. It was a new beginning when we obeyed the word. And you know, when God finished his physical creation at the end of Genesis, it says that he looked down and he saw everything that he had made, and indeed, everything was good. So we look at the world that we live in, the world that God has made, and everything was good. Everything was for our good. And God intended for us to use it for good in life. Unfortunately, it hasn't always been the case. But it was God's will that this beginning be a good thing. For the new Christian, we have something new. We have been purified from all sin. We have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That gives us a new beginning. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, we are freed from sin. He said, But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Peter says that our souls has literally been purified. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. It is capable now for us to have that kind of love because of what Jesus did for us. Because he made us something new. He gave us something new. Paul tells us that we were created for this. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, he tells us that we are created for good works. We are created to make something new of ourselves. We are created to help other people make something new of themselves. And it comes through obedience to the Word of God. These are all great beginnings. The physical beginning was great for man. The spiritual beginning was incredibly great for man. But watch it. We have to be careful with new beginnings. Because some new beginnings, or all new beginnings, can be marred by sin. The physical beginning, the creation, it was marred by sin. It got to the point that the physical beginning that God gave to man was so corrupt that God repented in the fact that he had even created man. And therefore he destroyed mankind, with an exception of one family, that being Noah and his family. The church that began on Pentecost, the spiritual new beginning for mankind, it saw the doctrine of Christ being disregarded by men. Many churches were not founded upon the pure seed of the Word, but they were founded upon the perverted seed given by men. We are warned as Christians that we as individuals can be marred by sin. You know, Peter warns us about Satan. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, we never think about Satan is after you. He is after me. If you have any relationship with God whatsoever, he is after you to take that away from you. And people who say, well, I don't have a relationship with God. Well, that doesn't matter. He's already got you. You are already in his grip. So we have to be careful that we do not allow Satan to devour us. Some new beginnings are only temporary, where others are eternal. This physical world is temporary. I've made references in the past to maybe the first car that you bought, the first house that you bought, the first suit of clothes that you bought. Where are they now? They're gone. They don't exist anymore. You've had to buy something new because that which you bought that was new at that time is gone. Physical things are not eternal. They do not last. Peter, 2 Peter 3, verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works in it will be burned up. Our world, our earth, your world is temporary. It will not last. The church, however, is an eternal thing. It will last through time. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably and reverently and with godly fear. Because the kingdom is not going anywhere. We must adjust our lives to be a part of that kingdom. Our relationship with God was intended to be eternal. You know, Paul tells us that when the Lord comes again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, he said, we shall ever be with the Lord. There will be no end to us being a part of God and his family. But I have to tell you, my friends, we can lose that relationship by walking in darkness instead of walking in light. Well, what about this year? We're at the beginning of it. We see it just now unfolding before our eyes. It did come from God. God has spared us to see this new year. He has given us this day. He has given us this opportunity to do something with this that which is brand new. And it's a good gift. But we can mar it. We can destroy it through sin, through neglect, through disobedience, and through irresponsible action. We can destroy that good thing that God has done for us. What are you going to do with your new beginning? Are you going to use it to God's glory? Are you going to use it to prepare yourself for eternity, which will last forever? I have to tell you, my friends, if time stands, we will see the final seconds of 2023 come to an end. If you're watching TV, you will see the ball drop. That is the saddest thing that I have to watch on TV at night on New Year's Eve. The ball comes down slowly, and you know what that is? The year is slipping away. It is going, going, gone. Thankfully, God gave us a new one. Will he give us a new one again? I don't know. But he has given us this one now. And we are to use it for him. Tonight, if your life as a Christian is not what it should be, correct it so that you can do the right thing with that which God has given you that is brand new. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you need to become brand new. And you can do so by obeying the Word of God. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.